Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniewell. He's wrapping up a great edition coming up of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. So hopefully he'll be able to join us, but he was kind of pushing a deadline there. He's got a really good story about the RTD and Democrats. You'll be shocked to hear, trying to destroy traffic and businesses in Denver. But wanted to talk about the extraordinary hearing that was going on earlier today in Congress. And no Senate Democrats, of course, attended, where a CIA whistleblower came forward and basically said what we all knew all along. We and people like you who listen to our show, we were right all along about COVID. He testified, and we'll play some sound from it. Basically, he testified that in August, by August of 2021, so pretty much really from the beginning, practically, the scientific community that was involved in the whole thing had concluded pretty much, you know, without a doubt, without a lot of question, that the COVID origins was not a bat in some cave, as Dr. Fauci wants us to believe, but was a leak. It was a man-made leak from the Wuhan lab in China. And the scientific community and some members of the intelligence community, they were getting ready to issue a report to say just that when Dr. Anthony Fauci stepped in and said, no, no, no. Keep in mind, Fauci funded the Wuhan research lab. And he said, no, no, no. It was, we can't be putting that out. We can't conclude that. And he forced him to change it. And they did. And had then spent the rest of the time trying to lie about it and cover up. Even there was testimony today, once Trump came back in 2024 and Tulsi Gabbard, director of national intelligence, started looking into it, they were spying on her, these deeply embedded deep state folks. They were monitoring her and the people who were working with her, their computers, their cell phones. The members of Congress had asked for some of the documents that were now declassified, and they gave them like five, and this whistleblower said, oh, no, there are thousands and thousands. But this guy came forward and he's very credible. And I'm just going to play. His name is James Erdman. He is an active CIA member. And he kind of walks through his resume. So he's pointing out, hey, he was in a position to know what was going on. And so, Doug, if we could please play the CIA whistleblower soundbite.
I am a career CIA operations officer. And as you mentioned, I was on joint duty assignment at the Office of Director National Intelligence Directors Initiatives Group, or the DIG, between March 2025 and April 2026. I was responsible for leading the DIG's investigation into COVID origins, anomalous health incidents, and unidentified anomalous phenomena. I'm here today to discuss the COVID cover-up, the national security implications associated with the DIG's investigative findings, and CIA refusal to comply with lawful oversight, as well as how we remedy these problems. Intelligence community leaders and senior analysts downplayed the possibility that the COVID pandemic originated as a result of a lab incident. Motives are difficult to define given the scope of the DIG's review. Intentional or not, the IC's actions resulted in a cover-up, wasted resources, and a failure to properly inform policymakers. Public health policy would have been very different had the American public been made aware that a virus from a lab in China was going to serve as the foundation for an emergency use authorization mRNA products being mandated by the former administration. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists. This included some of the authors of the paper, The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2, and other public health experts who have been in his orbit for the last 20 plus years.
Now, he says, I mean, he's being kind of not, I mean, great for him for coming forward, but when he says, you know, and hey, check is here, yay, the motives, it's like, well, the motives are clear. Dr. Fauci funded the Wuhan lab, right? He funded it. So, of course, he doesn't want to have to acknowledge that he has unleashed, through whatever reasons and means, that he has unleashed this whole, you know, coronavirus onto all of us. And then they went ahead to use it as an excuse to lock down businesses, destroy educational careers, destroy people, destroy lives. I mean, think of all the people who, you know, my cousin to this day is sort of angry and bitter about the fact that her mom got sick in the middle of all of this and had to go into a nursing home during COVID and then couldn't have anybody visit her because of the stupid government, unnecessary COVID rules. And she never really recovered and died a short time later. I mean, there are so many lives ruined on this. And when he talks about motives, I think the motives were clear, right? They were wanting to hide their complicity in this. They wanted to hide their role in this. And then they wanted to continue to use it to basically dominate the rest of us. And Rand Paul kind of addressed this, and he points out, Dr. Fauci, rather than inserting himself and injecting himself into this process, is the last person who should have been involved. If we could please play the Rand Paul soundbite.
She approved the research that went on in Wuhan, and that it might not be in his interest for the conclusion to be that it came from a lab that he had funded, that there might be a conflict. Did anybody ever bring up that he might not be an objective witness?
That was one example of an email. No one laid it out quite that clearly. You're piecing it together. We were piecing it together from multiple emails, from multiple agencies, multiple documents. It was more subtle than that. Nobody said this is happening, and unfortunately, I think they probably should have. It was all out there.
But your conclusion is that changing from the scientific consensus of it being from a lab to a neutral position by the CIA was significantly influenced by Anthony Fauci?
It was significantly influenced by Anthony Fauci's injecting himself into the IC, and. To go to the second part of your question about what happened, particularly during the 90-day study, we have documentation that shows that as of August 12th, the CIA was considering calling this a lab leak, August 12th of 2021. And then that changed on August 17th of 2021.
Right.
And unfortunately, because the CIA would not provide us documentation that we asked for, we have no idea why that changed. And that's...
And they weren't alone, because we know the FBI was coming to the same conclusion that it was lab leak, as well as the FBI. Senator Ernst?
I mean, Chuck, why do you make it? I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, we were right, and our listeners were right all along about this. And some time has gone by, and I think people are like, well, you know, we've all moved on. But I think this is... I can't imagine anything worse having happened, right? I mean, look at what they did to people. Then they created it, then they unleashed it, then they lied about it, then they used it as an excuse to essentially destroy civil rights in America. And now they're like, oh, nothing to see here. The Democrats didn't even attend the hearing.
Yeah, it was clearly empty, except for Joni Ernst on the dais. You know, what I find is distressing. Is there never any names? So there's somebody over at the CIA who converted the recommendation and shepherded it to go from lab leak to animal origin. Who did that? I mean, and I'm sure he's 99%. He's still at the CIA.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to hear some names. We want some accountability for the people at the CIA and the FBI who changed everything from what their analysts said it was to whoever Dr. Fauci was peddling at the time. I mean, is there any greater criminal in the world other than Dr. Fauci? How many people did he kill? One by, you know, the U.S. prohibits gain of function, so he just gives the money to Peter Jancic's group and gives them tons of money. So they take it over to the one place where, you know, China. Oh, sure, that's a good place to do gain of function research. Yeah, I'm sure the CCP was very happy that you're providing all this bio warfare that they can control with their own scientists and make sure that they'd be safe while America was getting killed. I mean, where else, what would be a worse place?
Ukraine. We have some going on in Ukraine too. So, well, here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's my second worst place.
Right.
So, I mean, and why hasn't Fauci, and I'm sure Rand Paul has been trying to get this through, but why hasn't Fauci called again?
Well,
now, I mean, he has, you know, if you believe these universal commutations that, you know, saying, well, it's all past acts, but it's not for lying to the Congress today.
Well, Jacob says, I want to know why Fauci's statute of limitation runs out when he may have killed people. The statute of limitation was only on the lying to Congress. And I think that has run out. But I think it's clear, Tulsi Gabbard, I was saying earlier, took before you came on, that this whistleblower also testified that the CIA currently has people and the FBI spying on Tulsi Gabbard, getting into her computer, hacking her phone usage. Because as you said, you know, what are the names? Well, my understanding is that this is exactly what Tulsi Gabbard is looking into. She's looking into the name. She's looking into who did what and when did they do it and where's the evidence. And my suspicion and my hope, I guess it's a hope as well as probably more hope than suspicion, is that what they're releasing this and they're building the case, because remember how beloved, you know, you had news anchors saying they wanted to, you know, get romantically involved with Dr. Fauci. I mean,
an octogenarian.
Yeah, think how insane the corporate media was about this and how many people still believe it. Look at all the people still wandering around with masks and things like that, right? And still getting COVID vaccines. It's ridiculous, but people were brainwashed. And once you've been brainwashed and fooled like that, it's really hard to admit that you were stupid and wrong, right? That you got conned by your government. So I think hopefully what they're doing is they're getting all of this out and then they're gonna go after Fauci. I mean, we're seeing now, you know, it appears that they're actively interviewing people at the CIA about Brennan and Clapper, right? So that's going forward. So I'm hopeful that that's what they're doing. And I don't know how how you charge somebody with murder. But you could probably, I don't know, you're the lawyer, conspiracy, some kind of, you know, massive neglect.
There are a billion charges in the Code of Regulations short of murder. You know, it's he's in his 80s. Does it matter?
Yeah.
Just give him a 5-year sentence or something. Give him the Tina Peters deal.
Right. Well, and Jacob says, again, which I point out too, you know that not one Democrat senator attended the hearings today. And think about what that says about the Democrats, right? I mean, they're the ones who shoved this down our throat. They're the ones who tried to destroy civil rights in America and did for a while. And meanwhile, while Nancy Pelosi, of course, went to get her hair done, no one else could get their hair done, right? And they all, and, you know, and Newsom, they partied in California. But they don't want the truth, right? Because they are so complicit in it, and they're going to try to pretend that it never happened. And then Senator Ron Johnson had a really good point, too. He said, you know, let's talk about the vaccine. There's all kind of evidence coming out now that they knew well ahead of time that the vaccine was dangerous, far more dangerous to most people than COVID. And they still kept shoving it down our throats. They still made forced people to take it or lose their job. And here's what Ron Johnson had to say about that. So, Doug, if we could please play the Senator Ron Johnson soundbite.
We need to get the bottom of this. And right now I'm just using this moment. I need the mainstream media, CBS, ABC, CNN, to step forward and start covering what is a major scandal. How many thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of people are permanently disabled or possibly lost their life because our FDA hid the fact that there were safety signals screaming at them with the COVID injection. So again, I you can't answer all my questions in terms of who's, but we need to figure out who is running this deep state.
Well, I'll tell you who's running that part. Well, it's the pharmaceutical. I was going to say the pharmaceutical companies. Here's why. One of the reasons. One, you're not going to hear it on the mainstream media. The same reason you haven't heard about the Russia hoax or Hunter Biden laptop or, you know, election integrity. They don't touch anything like that if it doesn't fall in line with their very globalist, progressive narrative. But they're all, you know, this calls into question a lot the pharmaceutical companies, because they knew what the problem was. They had the research. They knew what was going on. And the pharmaceutical companies are major advertisers. I mean, that's why you see all those ads. It's not like there are all these people sitting out there going,
well, they're always for a vaccine for something that you have a 1% chance of getting.
Right.
You know, they're worthless unless they've conned some people to getting them. The one that I, you know, just on a personal basis, when I got COVID.
You're getting it now, Chuck.
I'm getting it now. You know, I tried to get ivermectin. And, you know, I'd go to my doctor, who no longer my doctor, and said, I can't give a prescription for that. Why not? I said, well, it's a horse dewormer, and I couldn't in good faith. And so, you know, so I lost my faith in my doctor and the medical profession, because he knew that was bullshit.
Right.
But if he wrote out a prescription, he probably would have been in trouble. So maybe it's understandable, unless you have a Hippocratic oath or something. So I had to go to Wyoming to get it, and it really helped. But you know, thousands of other people didn't. And no one's held responsible. There's never, who were the people who were in the CDC, whatever, saying, you know, it's a horse dewormer and you shouldn't do it. And there's no accountability in there. I imagine 90% of the federal workforce is incredibly left-wing. And if it got rid of 90% and just started rehiring again, it would be to the benefit of the country.
That's right. Well, you know, and just to go over, because again, people, you tend to forget and you tend to think, well, we can move on. I do think it would be harder to fool us again. I think their big experiment to take away all of our rights did not work, right? Because mostly what happened is people started getting it and then they recovered and they were fine. So it became harder and harder to push the lies on us. People could just see for themselves. But I mean, think of it. We were banned from YouTube for questioning
yes.
it. Look
yeah.
at, think of that. Like you said, we know doctors who said they couldn't say the truth about it because they would be reported. Look at the
you could lose your license.
Right. And look at whole companies were created out of this to basically monitor any news organization or any journalist or any citizen journalist, anybody on social media who said anything. And they were banned. Their lives were, you know, were threatened. Not maybe their lives were threatened, but their livelihoods were threatened and or destroyed. I mean, the extraordinary lengths they went to silence anyone who questioned the government narrative, and the number of people who went along with it, and they were forced to go along with it in many cases, right? I know plenty of people who didn't want the vaccine, who weren't, but they said, I can't work if I don't have the vaccine, right?
Well, one of my prouder parental moments was when we were able to, by hook or by crook, not get Rev vaccinated.
Right.
And that took a lot of time and effort. But I'm so glad we did it so we didn't get vaccinated. We obviously didn't get vaccinated. And he said, well, you know, they weren't able to fool us. They're not, they'll just do a different trick. Rest assured that they get the fact that this trick didn't, you know, we can't pull this one off again. And so they'll try a different trick.
Right. Well, yeah, they use public safety, right? They declared emergency. And Jacob says, I think people should write letters to the local TV news stations and complain that the reporters lied to the viewers about the vaccine. And
you think they care?
Yeah, he said they didn't
shut it down. Does the station care?
He said they didn't shove it down our throats. They stabbed us in the arm. And he says the stations must save the correspondence letters to keep their seal of approval. I remember Channel 4 had an article telling viewers that the hydroxychloroquine, I always say that wrong, would not work. Oh, they all flat out said that, right? I remember, was it Channel 9, Kyle Clark? Was like, you're killing people. If you're not getting the vaccine, you're killing people, right? I mean, think how insane they were. And so, you know, I go back to, you know, you look at in the conservative treehouse, if you guys haven't looked at it, had sort of a great kind of background story a little bit on some of the stuff that Tulsi Gabbard is doing. It does look like that they are looking into it. Well, I mean, they say they are right now. How much they're looking into it, how far they can go, you know, what court you, I mean, you've got all these judges who are happy to, you know, jail people and destroy businesses that, you know, question whether they should be closed or not. you know, you got to wonder what they would do. But I, you know, I'm hopeful, number one, that the truth comes out and it appears to be coming out. And, but like you said, number two, that people are held accountable. I don't know. What do you,
well, the truth comes out. Sure, the truth comes out, but it's only absorbed by 40% of the people. There's 10 or 20% that just don't care. And there's another 40% that are Democrats, and they'll just, you know, they'll read the New York Times and they won't read about Rand Paul's hearing or the plus Russell. They will just say it's another conspiracy theory.
Right. Well, and the Democrats not attending the hearing talk about hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, right? They're like, what hearing? What Dr. Fauci thing, right?
Yeah. You know. You won't find this story anywhere on the New York Times or ABC or, you know, so they're happily in their bubble and not to worry.
Yeah, isn't that practice? Oh, you're right about back to the Channel 4. Isn't that practicing medicine without a license? Well, they, I'm sure they were quote. Well, I guess they didn't quote people. Yeah, they just. I think that's on journalism in particular. It was always awful. It just really went off the deep end, right? Where you couldn't even question anything. And not only that, for questioning it, they tried to destroy your life, right? And even for the longest time, even when it was clear people were getting COVID and recovering, yes, some people got very sick. Yes, some people died. But some people die of the flu, and we don't shut down the whole universe because of the flu, right?
Well, you know, if we have all the statistics that aren't quite finalized, but how many, you know, every year the flu kills lots of old people. And it's called, you know, the old person savior. So you don't just, you know, prattle on till you finally everything goes. But how much did the COVID kill above and beyond, you know, a hard flu season? Was COVID any different than a strong flu? And, you know, I haven't seen finalized numbers, but
Jacob has, he says, statistically, only two people in the country died of COVID only. Yeah. Well, yeah, remember that? Remember we said there was somebody, we had a person on our show, and the person was died, I think it was in a motorcycle accident. And
because
the insurance companies, and because the funeral homes, they were getting, the hospitals were getting more money. They're like, they called it COVID related. And he says, now here's-
Well, he didn't. You got all kinds. I mean, they pulled out every stop.
Right.
And they were prepared to do this for decades.
Well, and in the future,
they had this card up their sleeve.
Right. Jacob says in the future, you'll have personal injury attorneys saying, did you get the COVID jab? You might be entitled to compensation. Although, remember, they cleverly absolved the insurance companies, right?
Yeah. Well, they absolved the pharmaceutical companies.
The pharmaceutical companies. So, you know, which you got to ask yourself, why would they do that? You know, why would they do that?
Well, at the time it was, you know, and this is, you know, Trump saying, I'm going to get this product to market. And he did. And, it, you know, but it had none of the safeguards and ended up being a disaster. So, you know, they ought to take away the immunity for anybody who gets a shot in the future. And then you won't have to worry about that, you know, people get fooled. And they say, from now on, you just, any future shots where you get sick, you know, you can sue the pharmaceutical companies. And, I, you know, boy, if I get a jury summons and I got a pharmaceutical company getting sued for, and I'm on a jury, oh, yeah, great.
Well, let me ask you, as a lawyer, on the one hand, okay, so yeah, you can't be sued, but if you can show negligence, if you can show some kind of malicious intent, that still, you can't get around that?
By who? Who's going to let you get around it? The
judge.
Democrat district judges?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they want it all to remain hidden. So, I mean, extraordinary testimony. And I think, Tulsi Gabbard, it seems to be, number one, becoming safe for these people to come out and speak. The people who are in trouble right now are the deep state embeds, right? Who are, they're fewer and fewer of them. And it's harder and harder.
They're
for them.
Not fewer and fewer of them. And I mean,
they're
the massive majority of every FBI agent has really been hired from Mueller on is a deep state person. Hide it better than others. Maybe there are one or two conservatives, but, you know, it's just...
Well, here from Jacob, this I think is true too. The pharmaceutical companies may have had immunity, but the employers who forced the jabs could be liable. I think I've seen some lawsuits on that, right? Where people are...
Well, they still haven't let the people in the Army who said, no, I'll quit rather than do, you know, they're still working on getting them back. So it's amazing how slow everything is. And by the time we hit the midterms and if they go adversely, it'll be a whole different ball.
Well, and again, that's why once Trump is gone, who knows really what happens then, right? And so hopefully they're putting all this together and hopefully they're doing a bit of a PR move in that they're kind of putting this information out. So then, I mean, because Fauci has a pardon, but who knows?
The thing is, it's not a pardon for future acts.
Right.
They said, well, you're going to come back and testify after Biden is gone. Said, well, why would I have any liability? And so he'll plead the fifth. Some people think that he can't plead the fifth. Of course he can plead the fifth.
You can always.
The pardon only covered for past acts. It didn't cover him for lying to Congress now. And he's not going to come in front of Rand Paul and say, no, that was a game of function. No.
Well, he's not going to come in front of Rand Paul and say, okay, you're right, it wasn't that. Well,
I was just lying my ass off. You know how much exposure I would have had by getting Danzig?
And again, I think a question that still needs to be answered is, how did it leak? So it leaked. Was it on purpose? Was it an accident?
Well, they won't ever know that because that's in China. And
like, good point. Well, yeah, and all the
doubt if it's intentionally leaked because they certainly there's lots of problems in Wuhan itself. But they say the wheels of justice grind slowly but thoroughly. But you know, I don't think we'll ever get. Anyone will pay a price for this.
Well, and it becomes sometimes too, you have people like Dr. Fauci, who I'm sure has lied enough to himself and who says, number one, I still don't believe it. Right. And number two, it's like I'm sure he tells himself and all those other people, too. I did it for the good of the country. More. I mean, you still hear people say that more people would have died if it wasn't for this. And it's, so we'll see. But a very interesting testimony today. Why don't we move on to something else? This, and you talked a little bit about this, but I did the transcript. So former Colorado Republican Party Chair Britta Horn was on John Caldera's show. He is I guess you'd call him a mouthpiece for the Anschutz, Phil Anschutz, establishment media kind of thing.
That's what he is.
Yeah. And so he had Britta on, and first of all she did was trash the grassroots people. But this, I thought, was a particularly interesting exchange. So John Caldera asks Britta Horn, the former Republican Party chair, is it time to get rid of the caucus system? I have now become a fan of open primaries. Some people call them jungle primaries. Let Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians all run in one primary, and the top two then go to the general. Is that a good idea for Colorado? And Britta Horn says, absolutely. She says, our open primaries, jungle primaries, a good idea for Colorado. And the former chair of the Republican Party says, absolutely. Then she makes it even worse. And she says, pay to play. You have to pay the party, pay the Secretary of State to get on the ballot. Now, what's extraordinary about this is the main role of the Colorado Republican Party is to select candidates to be on the ballot.
It used to be more than that. It used to be, to help candidates all across the state. And then the Democrats, the legislation, and another reform, which is no different than COVID. They always find whatever the public kind of, public corruption. We don't have the party have too much money. So it used to be able to help candidates get elected, but it doesn't have enough money to do that anymore. And so their only real function is to how you get on the ballot. And then they change that. So all of a sudden affiliates, unaffiliated. So I mean, the Democratic legislature is always working full time to screw with everything. Right. But there'd be no purpose for a party if they don't really help determine, what are principles they have and run candidates who ostensibly believe in those principles, at least some of them. So she's basically saying, destroy the parties, which is what the billionaires want. That's what Phil wants. That's what Coors wants. That's what the Walton Foundation wants. Because only they, one, The pay-to-play will be expensive. Two, getting signatures to do it, unless you want to, you know, a jungle primary with 300 or 500, you know, members to it. And, you know, they always say, well, it's democracy. Well, you know, if the information flow is limited, there'll be six people in this state who'll determine who wins and doesn't win.
Right.
There'll be six people. Well, we can't have caucuses because that would...
Because that involves voters.
People overseas are always dying to be part of caucuses. And that excuse has gone on because they have put another rule in. They have to be able to attend virtually. So,
I think, like I said, it's extraordinary. And I think it can't be understated that the former chair, and if she hadn't resigned, and we hadn't forced her to resign, of the Republican Party openly advocates and is supporting a system that an electoral system which makes the party essentially obsolete and makes the party irrelevant. She's the chair of the party. You'd think she would be saying, no, John, the party needs to be relevant. But if the party has no role, if it doesn't in anything, if it does, I guess they could hold dinners or something every so often. But she didn't just come up with that. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the Fauci thing. It's like, okay, somebody was manipulating this. This is proof. Britta didn't just think of this yesterday, right? That was all along we'd say, was she such a horrible chair by design or by just her own personality? And I think there's certainly, this is clear, there was some design in it. For her to just so openly say, absolutely, we need to have jungle primaries in Colorado. And she's not even talking about petitions. She says it needs to be pay to play. I mean, that's...
Oh, I mean, two things. One... And you know, there were proposals before. If you want to run for a state house, it's 10,000. Run for governor, it's 60,000. So you'd have to pay, and they want people to have to pay a lot. So you pay just to be able to be on the ballot, but then you need to get petitions, which costs a great deal of money. And the key is to force it from every congressional district, which makes it even harder. Therefore, you know, fewer and fewer people who aren't backed. Aren't independently rich or backed by rich people even get on the jungle primary. And it's.
Well, what's even more extraordinary is the fact that, okay, given Colorado's makeup, I mean, we can't win now. So if we have a jungle primary, who does she think the top two vote getters are going to be in Colorado?
Democrats every time.
Yeah. They're not
or a rhino and a Democrat, maybe. I mean, you know, maybe we'll get a rhino in there.
Well, maybe it's going to be somebody that all the billionaires agree on. But I guess that's what I mean. So there is, not only is she not defending the party, she is intentionally saying things and doing
sabotaging
things.
Sabotaging it. And she did when she left the party with 400 million, 400,000 in debt and a quarter or 250 of it was her own attorney who got a confession and judgment the day before. She was,
and that's still kind of hanging over the head, right? It's
absolutely.
You know, I mean,
the judge said you can have a stay, but you got to put up a bond. Well, the party has no assets to put. It's a nonprofit. There's no assets to put up for Clendas One. So,
yeah. Well, and again, so this is a war that I think, you know, we'll keep fighting because the jungle primaries would take. I mean, we would be every election would be essentially you would have your choice between like a Phil Weiser or Michael Bennett.
Yeah, you know, the other person that ought to be put in jail next to Anthony Fauci is Ken Thierry. Constantly, you know, until he got indicted himself, you know, he was everybody's golden boy because he'd push whatever thing the Uniparty wanted.
Right. Well, yeah, he's the one who's been pushing. And you know, and he's they're going to go back from, they're not going to call it ranked choice voting, but jungle primaries. You know,
I think. Well, you can add that, you know, that was big of Caldera. So I'm not a fan of ranked choice voting anymore. Oh, that's good, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, you ought to be the California of the Year. They used to give that, Independence used to give that out, and he deserves it now.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So, you know, just an update there that it's just extraordinary that the chair of the party, former chair of the party, absolutely agrees with implementing an election process that will destroy the party. Yeah. It'll destroy the Democrats, too. But the Democrats kind of want that to happen,
care.
Too, because the progressives are still. And it's like you said, a Democrat will win. The Democrat will be the top two positions. So, you know, there won't be any Republicans. And again, once when listening to her and John Caldera, they both conveniently keep forgetting that up until 2016, we had closed primaries. I mean, man,
right.
They make it seem like, well, how could we even kill? There was like, how could anyone win? They will have had no contact with unaffiliated voters. Oh yeah, like they're in this little Republican house and they can't get out, so they don't even know.
You know, most people are unaffiliated. Well, of course you're unaffiliated. Why should you join a party? If you're unaffiliated, you can vote in either primary, and so why would you be one with one of the parties? I mean, you just go, okay, I'll be independent. The only reason most people joined, except if they want to become active, was so they could vote in the primary. And right. Then you take that away and you go, oh, they're all independents. You go, oh, great. Yeah.
Well, and the moment
have parties. Let's just have Channel 7 decide who we ought to run.
Well, it'll be like, you know, it'll be just billionaires. It'll be the billionaire, you know, the Koch brothers, or, you know, the Koch, the Americans
for Prosperity.
Yeah.
Running.
But yeah, the people with money. Okay, moving on to, although there is hope, we'll kind of wrap up. We've got a little bit of time here, but hopefully. So, you know, on the other day, we ran an ad, and it was a great ad by Spencer Pratt. He's the candidate who is pushing, and it isn't California. It's a jungle primary to a certain, well, it is a jungle primary. And he's pushing, you know, L.A. has gotten, California's gotten so bad, we need to take over and make it great again. So he had a great ad that was pretty funny. And then the union put out an ad that they thought... Public employee union that they thought would be, you know, convince people to vote against Spencer Pratt, but it's having the opposite effect. And so we got that for you. If we could please, Doug, play the Spencer Pratt ad.
Anti-Spencer Pratt ahead.
Conversation, well, it's long overdue, isn't it? It's interesting, this union-funded political advertisement opposing Spencer Pratt is going viral, but perhaps for all the wrong reasons, not what they intended. This ad, which is supposed to attack Spencer Pratt over his policies while urging voters to reject the independent candidate, may just be getting him elected. You decide. Let's look at this.
Republican Spencer Pratt is the last thing Los Angeles needs for mayor. Pratt opposes using taxpayer money to build brand new houses for our unhoused neighbors, saying it's time for the homeless to get help or get out. Pratt thinks LA needs thousands more police officers rather than more social workers, and Republican Spencer Pratt thinks public employee unions should have less power, not more. LA is on the right track and needs to stay the course. Vote no on Republican Spencer Pratt.
You think that's really, you know, somebody? I mean, even when they say, you know, buy, they say brand new home. The way they worded many of them,
it is. It's like things that you should not use tax dollars to buy homes for the homeless.
No, brand new homes.
Right.
So the wording was made worse, and so you wonder that there's a mole in that union. You know, a mole that is crafting that ad.
It's like, I would say that there probably isn't anyone who thinks LA is on the right track. Now, there's some people who are like, we like it here because it's good for us, right? And I'm making money with it being on the wrong track. But I don't think anyone would say, oh, yeah, we need to keep doing what we're doing in LA, right?
Well, you know.
Well, you've got movie industry. Everybody's fleeing LA, right? I mean, you see stories. Again, sometimes those stories, I'm sure there are some people who like it in LA and they're happy there, right? But you see, you know, once sort of a narrative gets going, you see like in the Daily Mail and, you know, New York Post, some of those that are really clickbait driven, you see them now, they're just like another hellhole from LA. I mean, they're, you know, and so you've got a guy who wants to come in and clean up and they're like, this guy wants to make our city better. He wants to stop crime. It's like, don't vote for him, for God's sakes. from Jacob.
I'm sure he probably won't make the runoff. You know, they got three people. You got a woman who is a Democratic socialist, and they got Karen Bass and him. And what do you bet it's between the socialist and Karen Bass?
Yeah. Oh, but the two other candidates, Jacob says, have decided not to debate Pratt again. Exactly. and then he's talking about, the governor in New York bailing out the mayor there so that he wouldn't have to raise real estate taxes. Well, you see that in LA, right, that the billionaire tax or whatever it is. So the billionaires didn't say, okay, we'll happily pay that. The billionaires just say, okay, we'll move. You know, and now you've got them in New York, they're trying to say, come back from Florida. They're like, I don't think so.
No, that doesn't sound so good.
No. But it does say something about the tone deafness that they thought that's only going to appeal to people who aren't going to vote for Spencer Pratt anyway, right? If you're an average person out there, you're like, well, wait a minute, I kind of support those things that Spencer Pratt is saying, right?
I think they had a Republican mole in the union. He said, oh, this is what we have.
All right. Well, anything else you wanted to bring up or talk about today?
Yeah, I mean, did you see it? It kind of goes with the jury gave a verdict. There's a guy who got arrested, claiming the police officer in some Colorado town. I forget which one. I think it's Parker. It was Parker, where she had got him indicted, and he lost his job and lost everything else, and for wrongful arrest and. And the jury awarded $24 million.
Wow.
You know, so if you're a police
officer. Who has to pay that? The municipality has to pay that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anna Parker. It's got insurance, but I'm sure it doesn't have anywhere near that level of, and the trial court may reduce it, but that shows you that, you know, it used to be you could never kind of, you know, the police officer would come up and give his, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And the juries were always very impressed by that. Now, I mean, sure, she testified, so on an absolute basis for wrongfully arresting him. And they didn't award, you know, 100,000, 24 million.
Punitive, yeah.
That's a
law enforcement expert, Mark Poff, on, and he's talked about, because he was former law enforcement, and now he and John St. Augustine have their own company where they do forensic work, and they testify for defense attorneys now, right? And he said It's astonishing to him how bad the police departments have become, not all, but how bad some of them have become. And he said the mistakes that they make, and they just, it's like they just don't care, right? It's like, oh, well, kind of thing. And he said, so they're getting cases thrown out all the time from the police violating their procedure. So, here, from Jacob, the people who live in Glendale, California should move to Glendale, Colorado. Chronicle will get more customers.
The one thing is unfortunately that Colorado once was a great place for people who wanted to escape California, but they're not going to one blue hell to another blue hell. They're going to go to Tennessee. That's become big. South Carolina's become big.
Texas, Florida.
Before, the next one is going to be Alabama, which used to be considered the hellhole of the United States, but now it's become a paradise.
Yeah. Okay.
It's amazing how everything's kind of, everything does change so quickly, but Colorado was, you know, the golden.
People aren't even coming to Colorado anymore, though.
Yeah, when I moved to Colorado, I felt so cool.
Yeah. You're still cool, Chuck. You're still cool.
You're still cool. You know, I don't care what anybody says.
That will wrap it up for us. Actually, this works out perfect because I have to get Rev from school to get him to an appointment. So thank you, everybody. From Jacob. One last thing from Jacob. Mississippi has the best test scores in public schools over California and New York.
That's unbelievable. I mean, you know, Mississippi was considered the worst, by far the worst. And now they're better in New York and California. I mean, whoa. And, you know, they've got the largest percentage of blacks in the United States, you know, for the state percentage wise. Obviously they're doing something really great in their public education system. So we can make sure the New York Times will report on that next week.
Yeah. Hey, and we'll keep you posted too on the fallout and the continuing information coming out on this whole COVID thing. But in the meantime, thank you to everybody at BBS, everybody on Zoom and who listens to us on Rumble and the various being cast.
We're going to get back on YouTube. Julie's going to demand that they put us
That's right,
on.
That they reinstate us. But meanwhile, everyone have a great rest of your week and we'll see you on Monday.
Take care, everyone.